Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. United States. Today, the President of the United States will be reporting to the Congress on the State of the Union. Is he going to make a good speech? What should he be talking about? Give us a call, 347-945-6713. Unemployment, 8.5%. He better talk about that. Gas prices rising every day. He better talk about that. The school system's falling apart. He better talk about that. Wow, I got the State of the Union right on the TV screen here. I hope you're watching it with me. If you want to talk with me about what's going on, give me a call, 347-945-6713. There's Hillary Clinton. Do you think anything will be different here tonight or in this country if Hillary Clinton had run as the Democrat and won the election? And God, yes, she would have won. Yeah, the congresswoman who got shot in the head is now in the Congress. And she's going to resign tomorrow. I feel bad for her. Wow. Amazing. I like this part in the beginning, you know, where all these guys come in and they're shaking hands with each other and hoping the camera settles on them for a while. Oh, here's Nora O'Donnell now. I'm watching. I got CBS on my screen here. I've never back-channeled a State of the Union address. Well, we were sitting at dinner tonight. My wife said to me, why are you going to bother to watch it? He's not going to report on the State of the Union. He's going to make a campaign speech. Is that a bad thing? If he, yeah, okay. Why shouldn't he make a campaign speech? Here's what we've done. Here's what we need to do. And here's what we're going to try to do in this fourth year. And this is what we're going to try to do when in my second term. I think it's a very legitimate thing to do. What do you all think? 347-945-6713 is the call-in number. I'd love to hear what you have to say. That's pretty tacky, bringing Warren Buffett's secretary to the State of the Union. I think. This is kind of a quiet show. I'll be happy to chat with anybody who wants to talk about what's going on, what went on in South Carolina when Newt Gingrich comes up with his big stunning win, what goes on in what's going to go on in Florida next week. Tax reform. Everybody wants to talk about tax reform. How about wealth redistribution? Why don't we talk about that?
Nancy, thank you. The president is making his way through the chamber in the
Oh, there's a new sergeant at arms in the House of Representatives. This is the part I like. Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. There's Barack Obama, who is the President of the United States. So is it going to be a one-termer? Give us a call, 347-945-6713. Or get in the chat room, and I'll relay your thoughts to the audience. He walks in. It's going to take him 10 minutes to walk in and shake hands. I found out who the who do you think? Which president of the United States made the longest State of the Union address? Give me a call, 347-945-6713 with the answer. And we'll figure out some kind of prize to give you. It is kind of exciting all the time to see the State of the Union. It would be fun to be there some night. It really would. Oh, man. Everybody's talking about how he's going to take the Republicans on in this speech. Well, we'll see. Bob Schieffer's calling this the start of the general election. Let me see if anybody's in the chat room. Nobody here yet, just me. My God, what should the president talk about tonight? Well, how about broadband for the whole country? How about... I don't know. So difficult. What do we do about the declining high school graduation rate in the United States? It's funny the judges wear their robes. There's a lot of old people on that Supreme Court. He's hugging them all now. And it's really kind of cool here watching this. I hope you're all watching at home. I didn't really know whether I should cancel the show tonight or not. It was a hard call. I still don't have anybody on here talking with me. I'd love to have somebody to go back and forth with rather than just give you my own views.
President shaking your hand with the Vice President and Speaker of the House, one day. And now the President of the United States.
He just gave the Speaker and the Vice President copies of the speech. Oh, now they're gonna clap. There's the wife. Maybe she's proud of America now. Only time will tell. I'll never forgive her for that remark.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
There's Gifford. It's hard to believe that woman got shot in the head. It's amazing recovery. It's just amazing.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans. Last month, I went to Anthony.
He's going along, starting off with a story. Oh, yeah, he's starting off with the big, the troops came home from Iraq.
We gather tonight knowing that this generation of heroes has made the United States safer and more respected around the world.
He says it's made us safer and more respected around the world. I think just the opposite has happened. We're not safer at all. We're more hated around the world. It was a completely...
There are no Americans fighting alone. For the first time in 2 decades, Osama bin Laden is not a threat to this country.
Yeah, he's cashing in on all the big stuff. Killing Osama bin Laden. Getting out of Iraq.
Most of Al Qaeda's top lieutenants have been defeated. The Taliban's momentum has been broken. And some troops in Afghanistan have begun.
God, are all of the troops out of Iraq?
Yep, all the troops are out of Iraq.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I thought that was Afghanistan.
No, they're still in Afghanistan.
At the time when too many of our institutions have let us down, they exceed all expectations. They're not consumed with personal ambition. They don't obsess over their differences. They focus on the mission at hand. They work together. Imagine what we could accomplish if we followed our example.
Now he's using the Army as an example of what the rest of the country should do.
Think about the America within our reach. A country that leads the world in educating its people.
How can he see? Now he's talking about how we lead the world in educating our people when every day the number of high school dropouts increases. He sends his daughters off to the fancy independent school. Now we're going to have this myth of the middle class in America.
I know we can because we've done it before. At the end of World War II, when another generation of
heroes... Oh, now he's talking about the superheroes from World War II.
...the economy and middle class the world has ever known.
It's this fallacy of the middle class.
My grandfather, a veteran of Vietnam, assembly line was part of the workforce that turned out the best Colin Sullivan.
He's talking about his grandfather, who was a bomber pilot, the guy from Kansas.
They understood that they were part of something larger. They were contributing to a story of success that every American had a chance to share. The basic American promise that if you work hard, you can do more.
One of my children just said that the president looks like a Simpson. That's our TV. He's not orange. Oh.
No debate is more important. We can only settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well, while a growing number of Americans barely get by.
Oh, now we're talking about
economy where everyone gets a fair shot, and everyone does their fair share, and everyone plays by the same set of rules.
What do you think? Everybody play by the same set of rules in America? Yeah, how did we get here, Mr. President?
Jobs and manufacturing began leaving our shores. Technology made businesses more efficient, but also made some jobs obsolete. Folks at the top saw their incomes rise like never before. The most hardworking Americans struggled with costs that were growing.
That's because you let them bust the union.
That mortgages have been sold to people who couldn't afford or understand. Banks have made huge bets and bonuses with other people's money. Regulators have looked the other way.
Oh, now he's talking about the bank.
It was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong.
It was irresponsible. And it plunged our economy into a crisis that took millions out of work, saddled us with more debt, and left innocent, hardworking Americans holding the bank.
Yes, it did.
In the 6 months before I took office, we lost nearly 4 million jobs. We lost another 4 million before our policies were in full effect. Those are the facts. But so are these.
8 million jobs.
Businesses have created more than 3 million jobs.
Wow, more jobs. The president says everything's turning around and getting better. What do you think about that? I sure don't have a job yet. You know, they said the same thing after the Great Depression. So that this never happens again. But it happened, and it's not over yet.
As long as I'm president, I will work with anyone in this chamber to build on this momentum. But I intend to fight obstruction with action, and I will oppose any effort to return to the very same policies that brought on this economic crisis in the first place.
I will oppose obstruction with action. That's the last thing he said. Yeah, you go clap your hands, Charlie Schumer.
No, we will not go back to an economy weakened by outsourcing, bad debt, and phony financial costs. Tonight, I want to speak about how we move forward. Lay out a blueprint for an economy that's built to last.
He uses one cliche after another, outsourcing, an economy built to last. Will somebody give me a call, 347-945-6713. I don't know how much more of this guy I can take. He did save the auto union, did manage to keep the USW in there.
Back on top as the world's number one automaker.
The UAW is still there. GM is again the world's number one automaker.
Chrysler has grown faster in the U.S. than any major car company. Ford is investing billions in U.S. plants and factories.
Ford didn't take a penny, though, Mr. President.
The industry added nearly 160,000 jobs. We bet on American workers. We bet on American ingenuity. And tonight, the American auto industry is back.
I don't even know who this guy is. I feel like I should, but I don't. Come on, somebody give me a call, 347-945-6713.
It can happen in Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, and Raleigh. We can't bring every job back, that's not our shore. But right now, it's getting more expensive to do business in places like China. Meanwhile, America is more productive. A few weeks ago, the CEO of Mastodon told me that it now makes business sense for him to bring jobs back home.
The president wants to say we're going to bring jobs back home.
Today, for the first time in 15 years, Mastodon's unionized plant in Milwaukee is running at full capacity.
Unionized plant in Milwaukee running at full capacity.
At this moment, to bring manufacturing back. But we have to see this. Tonight, my message to business leaders is simple. Ask yourself.
The president thinks we can bring men back. Oh, now he's going to the Kennedy line. He's going to go to all the big Democrats. Okay, we've had Kennedy.
Get
68-year-old John Kerry got in a fight at a hockey game and got his face beat in.
With one of the highest tax rates in the world. It makes no sense. And everyone knows. So let's change it. First, if you're a business that wants to outsource jobs, you shouldn't get a tax deduction for doing it. That money should be used to cover moving expenses for companies like Masterlot that decide to bring jobs home. Second, no American company should be able to avoid paying its fair share of taxes by moving jobs and profits overseas. From now on, every multinational company should have to pay a basic minimum tax. Every penny should go towards lowering taxes for companies that choose to stay here and hire here in America.
Whoa. The president's talking tough now about local manufacturing.
Third, if you're an American manufacturer, you should get a bigger tax cut. If you're a high-tech manufacturer, we should double the tax deduction you get for making
their
products here.
Well, you know, he keeps talking about all these ways to you know, control behavior by tax incentives.
It is time to stop businesses and ship jobs overseas and start rewarding companies that create jobs right here in America. Send me these tax reforms and I will sign them right away.
Oh, poor Eric Cantor. This is pretty interesting stuff. I don't understand. I'm looking at my tweets now to see if anybody's talking about the State of the Union. I just got a tweet here. You think Kerry's face looks bad? You should have seen what he did to Cantor in the hockey game. You know, if that was true, I think that would be spectacular. That would be so cool. I got that tweet from DC Debbie. She's very interesting. So if you get on Twitter, give a follow to DC Debbie. You'll like it. DC Debbie's back channel says President Obama's really pissing off Republicans with all this talk of improving the economy and adding jobs.
It's not fair when foreign manufacturers have a leg up on ours only because they're heavily subsidized. Tonight I'm announcing the creation of a trade enforcement unit that will be charged with investigating unfair trading practices in countries like China. There will be more inspections.
Yeah, even Luke Russert got a big charge out of the GM is back as number one automaker in the world. If that's true, it's a pretty astounding thing. A playing field's level, America will always win. Uh-oh, now we're talking about the matchup between workers' skills and jobs. D.C. Debbie says, President Obama's spinning facts faster than... Fox News can spin them.
And Siemens opened a gas turbine factory in Charlotte and formed a partnership with Central Piedmont Community College. The company helps the college design courses, laser and robotics training.
There's the secretary that pays a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett. That's hilarious.
I want every American looking for work to have the same opportunity that Jackie did. Join me in a national commitment to train 2 million Americans with skills that will lead directly to a job.
How about just getting them out of high school? How about just reading and writing? Oh, my God. You're going to have to listen to this show along with a copy of or a tape of the State of the Union.
Model partnerships between businesses like Siemens and community colleges and places like Charlotte.
DC Debbie's on a roll tonight.
Now you need to give more community colleges the resources they need to become community career centers, places that teach people skills that businesses are looking for right now, from data management to high-tech manufacturing.
This is really kind of fun.
Cut through the maze of confusing training programs. But from now on, people like Jackie have one program, one website, and one place to go for all the information and help that they need. It is time to turn our unemployment system into a re-employment system that puts people to work.
Yeah! They keep...
These reforms will help people get jobs. They're open today.
So what do you think about what he's saying?
Our commitment to skills and education...
Get on the line with me.
For less than 1% of what our nation spends on education each year, we convinced nearly every state...
DC Debbie is just pounding the Republicans tonight. Obama wants to bring outsourced jobs home. The Republican reception is very telling on how they really feel about America's success.
We know a good teacher can increase the lifetime income of a classroom by over $250,000. A great teacher can offer an escape from poverty to the child who dreams beyond the circumstances.
DC Debbie has got a blog called Tales of a 17th Street Geisha. That's kind of cool.
Most teachers work tirelessly with modest pain, sometimes digging into their own pocket for school supplies just to make a difference. Teachers matter. So instead of bashing them, we're defending the status quo. Let's offer school
to deal.
School deal. Keep the teachers on the job and reward the best ones. And in return, grant school flexibility to teach with creativity and passion. To stop teaching is a test. And to replace teachers who just aren't helping kids learn. That's a bargain worth making.
A bargain worth making. Kids are not dropping out of school because of the teachers. Kids drop out of school because school is meaningless to them.
When students are not allowed to drop out, they do better. So tonight, I am proposing that every state, requires that all students stay in high school until they graduate or turn 18.
Uh-oh. Obama wants to raise the minimum age from school to 18. Unbelievable. Like that's going to solve it. Uh-oh, now we're going to talk about college. How to make it cheaper.
The interest rates on student loans from doubling in July. Extend the tuition tax credit we started.
We're gonna, oh, yes, he wants to extend the tuition tax credit.
And give more young people the chance to earn their way to college by doubling the number of work study jobs in the next 5 years. Of course, it's not enough for us to increase student aid. We can't just keep subsidizing skyrocketing tuition. We'll run out of money. States also need to do their part by making higher education a higher priority in their budgets. And colleges and universities have to do their part by working to keep costs down. Now, recently I spoke with a group of college presidents who've done just that. Some schools redesign courses to help students finish more quickly. Some use better technology. The point is, it's possible. So let me put colleges and universities on notice. If you can't stop tuition from going up, the funding you get from taxpayers will go down. Higher education can't be a luxury. It is an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford. But let's also remember that hundreds of thousands of talented, hardworking students in this country face another challenge. The fact that they aren't yet American citizens. Many more broad-eared and small children are Americans through and through, and they live every day with a threat of deportation. Others,
now we're talking about the immigrant kids.
soon as they get their degrees, we send them home. Invent new products, increasing jobs somewhere else. I believe as strongly as ever that we should take on illegal immigration. That's why my administration has put more boots on the border than ever before. That's why there are fewer illegal crossings than when I took office.
I'm really beginning to doubt my voting for President Obama in the last election. I'll be perfectly honest. The first thing we have to do about school is make it non-mandatory. School should not be a restriction of liberty. It should be an extension of liberty.
Responsible young people who want to staff our land, start new business, defend this country. Send me a law that gives them the chance to earn their citizenship. I will sign it right away.
Now we want the law to give us ways for illegal aliens to earn their citizenship. He's using that phrase again, built to last. Let me see if anybody's in my chat room. I'm back channeling the, still nobody there. I wonder where, hey, sorry, I've been off, I've been out of the, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, not at all.
What do you think of the speech so far?
I've only listened to small bits of it, but Built to Last, wasn't that a slogan for GM or Ford?
No. It was Tom Peters wrote a book called Built to Last.
Yeah, but
his whole speech is full of, I almost passed out, though, with the don't let kids leave high school until they're 18. But that's going to change anything.
What is he saying? Kids can't drop out?
He wants every state to pass a law that you can't drop out of school until you're 18.
Yeah, well, then what?
So what are you going to do when they don't come?
I don't know, except that some of the school districts here go after the parents, you know. But we have, there are some students that they just boot out and say, hey, we can't deal with it.
It's unbelievable. But I've been back channel. Have you been listening to me back channel?
Yeah, a little bit. I really haven't heard a lot of the speech. I'm outside and, you know.
Oh, okay. Is it dark yet?
Oh, yeah. So,
hey, guess who I got a call from?
Oh.
Bob Joint.
Oh. No kidding.
He heard about Tom and Linda.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, yeah, he gave me a call.
So what's he doing?
Haven't
heard that name in a long time.
He's the chairman of the physics department at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Now he's talking about oil. McConnell doesn't look too happy.
Well... Yeah, but that pipeline is about the safest. It will be the safest pipeline in the country when it's finished. It has incredible safety features.
I really don't care whether it's safe or not.
Well, you got to look too at, you know, we've had some.
I'm all for the pipeline. Let's just nationalize the whole oil industry.
Oh, come on. Yeah, then we will pay $200 a barrel.
No, all the resources, the natural resources of the country belong to all the people. No one has the right to own them. That's a basic libertarian principle.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it most certainly is.
I own the land and I own everything underneath it too.
That's not true.
Well, it can be true. But to say it's a libertarian...
Well, I'm telling you, the left wing of the libertarian movement has forever left libertarians. The people own, all of the people own all of the resources that benefit the whole society. Oil is one of them.
You may find some ACLU types maybe on the East Coast, but
not
out
ACLU
here. Yeah,
but they do it in Alaska.
Well, I see what they're doing,
but that's
government land being leased to a private company, and the company is paying royalties to the state.
All the oil belongs to all the people.
I'm sorry that it doesn't work like that, and unfortunately,
it just happens to be where it is.
Yeah, well, that's a little close to the C word.
To the what word?
The C word, the communist word.
I prefer the S word.
Oh, well, whatever you want to call it.
Or the double L, the left libertarian.
Yeah, but where do you stop from there, you know? As it is, the government owns a tremendous amount of land, especially out here in the West.
Right, the Republicans want to sell it all to their friends.
Well, they want to give it, well, let's give that to the people. We were talking about homesteading.
I don't have
ago.
Any problem with another Homestead Act.
Yeah. But as it is, the government leases, whether it's timber or grazing or minerals. I mean, the government does rent this stuff out and let private industry, develop it.
Uh-huh.
And they get a cut of it, you know.
Because
what would you have then other than...
Yes, you know, Mr. President, did you hear? We've subsidized oil companies for a century. That's long enough.
Well, that's certainly true. And we've done the same with agriculture, and that has to stop as well.
We can all prefer energy innovation and doing
I don't have a problem with any of that. In fact, I mean, that would be right at the top of Ron Paul's position.
As much as I hate them, I think to cancel agricultural subsidies would destroy what's left of the small farm in America.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the only thing I suggest, if they put a cap on it, where it's only going to the smaller farmer. But the way it's set up now,
well,
these farms
now they're
are
not really that high because, well, the problem is they're absolute, and I don't think they should be absolute.
In other words, there should be
a bottom limit for a basket of wheat.
Oh.
And you only get a subsidy when it's below that. Right now, wheat is booming around the world because everybody's starving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
the problem with food is not that we don't have enough. We got more than enough.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is getting it to the people who don't have it.
Sure. You know. From what I understand, 20-30% of the wheat crop or grain crops in India, are lost to spoilage. because they can't get it to market.
What?
They have no infrastructure, no roads, no trains to transport any of the stuff.
And wheat is a very perishable product. Most people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
why when they... when the wheat harvest takes place in about 4 days. Because
mm-hmm.
if it stays on the in the fields any longer than that, it rots.
Yeah, right.
Just like you said.
Yeah, that's, and in this case, a lot of it is harvested, and it just sits, you know, in storage. They're waiting to, you know, they can't get down the roads. You know, it's India has its own problems, obviously. But you know, our situation, now you look at the volatility of grains last year, particularly corn and wheat, and you wonder where the volatility came from. Well, you know where it came from?
Uh-oh, wait a minute. He's talking about using war money now.
Oh, so we were not going to pay down the deficit with the war money. We're going to
keep spending
it. Oh, is that what he said? Because I can't hear.
Yeah, because we're not fighting the war anymore. Pay down the deficit with the war money.
Well, that makes sense. Well, yeah. But anyway, the volatility in the grain market last year, most
of
it was artificial.
The president talked all this baloney before when he was running, and then he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't expect to hear anything new. I mean, you know, whatever highlights, somebody will condense it, and I'll get to look at them, I guess.
Man, this is a long speech.
Yeah.
I heard today the longest, which president gave the longest State of the Union speech?
And
who do you think?
I don't know.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay.
His last State of the Union was just over 90 minutes.
Oh, good God. Yeah, you'd think everyone would need a bathroom break before that was done.
You know, I think it would be really funny if, you know, the president came in, walked up to the podium, handed each of them the coffee, you know, like he does in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and turned to the crowd, just get your coffee from the speaker or the vice president. I'll see you.
I'd put it online. I wouldn't even go that far.
Well, no, it's constitutionally required to present it to the people.
Okay, well.
And who was the first president to do it on the radio?
Oh, sounds like it's something FDR would do.
No, that's what I thought. It was Calvin Coolidge, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Man, he was president in the 20s.
Yeah.
After Harding croaked.
Yeah, well.
Wait, or was it Garfield?
What's that?
No, it was Harding.
Yeah.
Was it the one who was poisoned, or did he get shot? I think he died of food poisoning.
Oh, okay, well.
Harding and, who was the other guy? Warren Harding and, one got shot and one died in Alaska from eating king crab.
Didn't we lose, what, four of them to assassination? Lincoln.
Well, the first one was Lincoln.
Then
Lincoln, McKinley, Kennedy. Harding. Yeah, four.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one who died. There were two more that died in office.
Mm-hmm.
One was
Well, FDR,
he was from Ohio. Garfield. He was from Ohio. Well, now, I always get mixed up whether Garfield or Harding got shot.
Yeah, no, Garfield got shot, didn't he? He was on a train. I believe he was shot in the abdomen and...
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
He hung around for quite a while, too. Oh, there's Al Franken.
Yeah.
I would have thought that he would really yak it up, you know, in the Senate, but I haven't heard anything.
Oh, you type in Garfield and without president and you get the cat.
Yeah, of course.
The new rules we passed restore what should be any financial system's core purpose.
It doesn't say what happened to him.
Are you on Wiki?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere
in the
bottom.
He was shot, you're right. So Harding was the one who died of food poisoning there.
Oh, okay.
They're both from Ohio.
Oh.
Warren G. Harding. He was the, you know, Harding was the first senator to be elected president.
Hmm. Interesting.
The next one would have been Kennedy.
Huh. Yeah, it's true. Roosevelt was
a governor.
Yeah, and then he
was governor of New York.
Right, but he held a lot of high-level government positions.
Right, but his elected position was governor of New York.
Yeah, but I think, well, let me think now. Wasn't he...
Now he's talking about going after you investors.
What? And leave my money alone, goddammit.
Oh.
He's the reason
historians have consistently ranked Harding as one of the worst presidents.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, they were crooks. Yeah, he was Teapot Dome.
Mm.
I'm sure he died in office.
Yeah.
Unless I got this wrong. No, because he ran against... James Cox, and he beat him. He wasn't president.
Now return to the American
values. When did he die? Oh, then there were some people that claimed he's the first African-American president.
Oh, jeez.
No, really. That there
oh, yeah.
Many, it's a... African American lineage contention.
Mm.
He was only president for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He did establish Veterans Affairs.
People cannot afford losing $40 out of each paycheck this year. There are plenty of ways to get this
done. Oh, my God.
Right here, right now. No side issues, no drama.
He was the guy who let Eugene Debs out of jail. I want to know how he died.
When it comes to death,
it doesn't say. Anybody out there know how Warren G. Harding... the Naval Arms Conference was a... How did he die?
Right now, because of loopholes and
He advocated a Jewish homeland.
Oh.
Teapot Dome, yeah, I know. That was the big one.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's talking about Buffett. And said, there she is.
Oh, his secretary. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, she's going to turn this into a 15% tax rate before she's done.
Well, I'm all for a lower corporate rate. I think that would be a very good thing to do. And I don't think dividends should be taxed twice the way they are now.
They're not.
They
are. I don't want to hear about...
I know. You detest the truth. Every time I give you a kernel
of truth. It's absolutely not true.
Oh, really?
That the dividends aren't yours until the company gives them to you.
Right.
That money's been taxed as the corporate tax implied on the corporation. What's left is their taxes. When they pass it to you, it's income and absolutely taxable.
When I own a share of a company, I own a percentage of everything on their books to include that money that is taxed. And then subsequently given to me as dividend.
That money...
It's taxed twice.
Dividends are profit. That money has not
and they're
already
being,
been
and they're
taxed.
You know. Jeez.
No. No.
It's not
taxed.
The only way it's not taxed is if you have something like a real estate trust or a master limited partnership.
The money
then the money comes
you.
Directly to
stop,
me.
Stop, stop,
they don't
stop.
Pay
the
tax.
Money passed
I do.
You. Stop. The money passed to you has not been taxed.
Yes, it is.
No.
That's
no,
after
it
tax money.
Left. It's what's left after taxes are applied. That's
right.
Very different than in tax.
What kind of linguistic circus act is that?
That is not... It's not a linguistic circus act.
Oh, come on, Norm.
Well, you know what? We'll have this out next week because we're
yeah,
just about
we're
out of time.
Yeah, I know. We're on time. But, no, dividends are taxed twice. Unfortunately, that's the...
They are not!
Yes, they are.
Taxes have already been applied before it becomes a dividend.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not taxed twice.
I own a piece of the company. And if you tax the company for the income, that comes out of my profits.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
The profit isn't determined until after the taxes are applied.
Oh, come on now. So what? So that means my stock should go down every April 15th, I guess, cause they usually pay quarterly, but...
No. When dividends, they are income to the individual. The money that's taxed is the money that is the... actions of the corporation that it has acted on as a whole. And then it chooses to liquidate value because that's what a dividend is.
Yeah.
That money could be reinvested in the corporation. When they pass it to the stockholder, it is the same as selling something.
Okay,
and it should be
explain to me now how a master limited partnership works.
I don't know how.
Okay, well, it's a business, and it doesn't pay any income taxes. You know why? Because it gives everything to the partners. You see, this is a little tax loophole we got there. And a lot of some of the biggest oil pipelines, gas pipelines, work this way. Kinder Morgan is enormous.
Right, but when, but oh, but there's a major difference.
It's the difference in the way they're structured.
I do know that when it's a partnership, the partners are also liable for things in ways that the shareholder of a corporation is not, including debts incurred.
There's there's plenty of protections in there. It can be that way, but it's generally not. You know, I've owned them for numerous times over the years, and it's a nightmare for taxes, that I can tell you, because everything that's done at the corporate level, I have to do at my level.
I have to go because we're done tonight. I'm so glad you came because it made the last half hour a lot more interesting than the first.
Yeah,
All of you folks out there listening, tune back in next week because we're going to have the continuing battle of this phony double taxation.
Right. And then we'll have the Florida primary next week, Tuesday, right?
The 31st, that's right.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay,
enjoy.
Man. Yeah.
He's still talking.
Yeah. Well, so. I suspect I didn't miss a whole lot. So, but, yeah, this is over an hour. He started at 6, right?
He started at 9.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, it is over an hour now. I'm very distressed about it. So I'm very distressed.
Yes. All right, well.
All right, we'll see you next week. Norman
okay.
at night. And then on a high note here, we'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, you have a good evening. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.